Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Papa, we welcome you here. Holy Spirit, as you just fill this place, you already are. I feel your flood of love, and we just want more. We just want more of you. Ask that you come, Holy Spirit. Come. We invite you. We invite you. We want more. Nothing can happen here without you. Nothing can happen here. We want a continuation and even an increase in what's already happened. We want more. We're like greedy little children. We want more. I bless this time. God, I ask that your will be done. As you fill this place, God. We long for you. We yearn for you. Our level of faith tonight, Lord. Our confidence in you.
Yes, God.
Our confidence. Raise our level of confidence. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, God.
I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you tonight. I just feel his heart to encourage you. How many of you get tired of struggling with your flesh? Struggling with your flesh. We know up here all the right things. We know what the Bible says. We say that we embrace it. But our flesh fights. We fight it. I had a dream last night. And the Lord speaks to me through dreams. I rarely can figure them out, so I call somebody else that I know has that gift. And they're like, it's always right. Once I hear it, it's like, yep, that's it. And in the dream, I was walking to... I had an infection or something, and I was going to treat it just with over-the-counter stuff. So I was walking to the grocery store, and this little boy, a little five-year-old boy, comes riding up on his bike, and he jumps off the bike and follows me all around the store. And I'm wondering, where's your mom and dad? You know, where? And he's just so happy to follow me. And so we get outside, and I'm thinking he's still tailing me, and I turn around and start talking to him. And so I see another store off in the distance, and we start to walk there. And between, like, just in front of the store a ways, there's a big body of, like, it had rained hard or something and flooded. And I felt like the water was deep, and so I was going to bring him to an area that I couldn't quite see, hoping that that was higher ground and we could get through to the other store and maybe I could find his mom and dad. And on the way there, I started talking to him about, like, his heart. And he was telling me that his heart was troubled and he had he was confused and he was talking very adult-like. And so I'm getting like, wow, this kid is really interesting. And I start to want to do a little inner healing with him because his heart is troubled. His mind he's got some confusion going on. And I realized that the way I thought was clear wasn't clear. It was also flooded. And when we turned back around, suddenly we had to walk through some water, which delighted him. And I was trying to keep my pants dry and But he just went in and waded right through it. And then I looked, and the body of water that had been there had, like, quadrupled in size. And the distance was great, that I would have to walk all the way around and try to get to that store. And that's where I woke up. And in that dream, the little boy was me. It was my childlike faith. And so my flesh I don't know why God does this with me. He always has me sharing things with you I don't want to share. But I know that you feel the same. You do the same. And you can relate that way. If I share my struggles with you, I know you have the same. And I'm not an exception. I'm not the only one here with struggles, because you all just raised your hand. So I got that. So in the dream, I'm the little boy. The little boy is me, and he's my childlikeness, my childlike faith that is happy to walk through the water in confidence, trusting God. My adult self says, God, why do you have me doing some of the things that you have me doing? Like teaching or speaking or leadership or those things that I never was on my thought I would do. Never, I didn't see that in me. Why? I'm not learned. I haven't gone to college for that. All those objections that are in my adult head. But my little self has a serious childlike faith that Papa's going to fill my mouth. And he even confirmed that to me miraculously one time, in a way that I have trouble arguing with. And so I just want to encourage you that the flesh struggle, we all have it. We all do it. But that doesn't define you. That doesn't mean that you're not walking in the right path. It means that you have flesh that you're struggling with. That flesh doesn't speak the truth. That flesh wants to protect. Our flesh is selfish, self-focused. It wants to protect itself. And so if I hold back, and the obstacle that I saw was all the doubts that I have about who I am. And it got bigger when I turned around and looked at it. So I was so focused on that body of water that it kept growing. And that's what happens with our flesh struggles. And the more we focus on them and keep looking at them and getting so angry at ourselves, the bigger it becomes. Any of you experienced that? Like the more it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The stronghold gets stronger the more you get angry at it. So instead of getting angry at it, we need to embrace the struggle and set it before the Lord and learn how to lay it down in such a way that we break our agreement with it. Well, I went to the Lord today again. That is a default of mine, to go there. I'm inadequate. I'm not this and I'm not that. I can give you a whole long list of the things I'm not and why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But the Lord has a different idea, because he's the one that called me. He's the one that's put me in this place. He's the one that empowers me to do it. He's the one that has filled my mouth with gold. He's the one. And as long as I'm focused on what I'm not, that gets very big. And what I am becomes very small in my eyes. And then we have this thing about false pride. You know, if I start to embrace who God says I am, then it feels prideful. Like if I acknowledge that I have a gift of teaching beyond my learned self, that I have an anointing that comes to speak the truth, to speak the word or discern what the word's saying without having been through, almost said law school. Seminary. Cemetery's good. without being there, then that, the, you know, flesh wants to tell me that's prideful. But I have to check my heart. Do I feel pride? No. It's humbling. When you walk in a gift, when you walk in something you know you're not in and of yourself, then that should humble us. It's humbling to the core, because I know that if the Lord lifted off of me in a second, I wouldn't know what to say. Because you get me in a conversation, and if you're not a strong person and you can't carry the conversation, I'm not good at talking. I don't know what to say, unless I know you really well. But otherwise, I kind of just, hi, how are you? And my mind goes blank after that. And so I know that the same thing would happen up here. So that those flesh things have to go. We have to learn how to lay those things down, because it's wearisome. And the enemy knows where our woundedness is, and he wants to wear us down. He wants us to believe all that list of knots, and he wants us to hold on to those. And the Lord also showed me, so a lot of you know that I used to compare myself to Bill Johnson, of all people. Sue knows this well. Bless her heart. She used to pray for me. And one of the first, I used to like, God, why are you calling? I wrestled with the idea of teaching. I think this was before I even started doing it. And so Sue was one of the my intercessors at the time. And I think it was one of the, I don't know, early prophetic words that she got. And she was so excited. She came to me one day, and she's like, Londa, I got a word for you. I said, you did? Because I was as surprised as she was and excited. And I believed her prayers were powerful, but it was just that she got a prophetic word. And I said, what is it? And she goes, I heard the Lord say, tell Londa that if I want Bill Johnson, I'll call Bill Johnson, but I'm calling her. Oh, okay. Well, she was like really excited, and I was like, shoot, that, you know, that's not what I thought I was going to hear. So, but at that point, I started like thinking, okay, God, obviously, you're picking somebody who's weak that's going to confound the wise. And that's what he does. He doesn't just gift us in areas that we're already equipped in. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he asks us to go to seminary. Almost said cemetery again. What is with that? Sometimes he asks us to do those things, to get a higher education in order to do the things he's called us to do. But sometimes he really does raise up someone who looks foolish in the eyes of the world to confound the wise. I'm one of those. I'll freely admit it, and I'm happy to be there now. But in the beginning, it was a serious struggle. So that thing of being inadequate is a default of mine. The Lord also showed me that one time that I was comparing myself to Bill Johnson. I picked the best, you know, Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker, Patricia King. God, I'm so not like them. And the Lord showed me that is because I'm staring at them and I'm thinking that's what I should look like, that becomes a little idol to me. I'm basing my what I should be based on what somebody else is, rather than looking at Jesus and letting him define me. So I had to lay all those little idols down. I'm happy to say I don't have those desires anymore to look like somebody else. I still struggle, though, occasionally with that insecurity. And the Lord showed me in a dream. He doesn't let me get away with a thing. Ask him to do that for you. You don't want to get away with anything. You don't want those things to well up within you and become a stronghold in your mind. You don't want to embrace the idea that you're nothing, or that you can't do this, or you're not that, or you're whatever. that's not the truth. The enemy wants you to think that, because if we look like Jesus, then he gets scared. And it takes childlike faith to look like Jesus, right? John 5:19. He says, you know what? Jesus brought himself down willingly at our level. He stepped into human flesh and became vulnerable just like us. And it took the Holy Spirit to empower him to do what he did. He did it as a human. There's no way that we could, any of us could walk out what Jesus did without the empowerment. Jesus was no different. He had to have the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And he says in John 5:19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus was doing exactly what the Father did. He admitted, he spoke it right out, I can do nothing on my own. I do what I see the Father doing. How did he do that? It was childlike faith. It was faith. It was the fear of the Lord. It's reverential trust. It demands obedience, and it hates what God hates. That reverential trust and obedience to it caused Jesus to be able to bear a very, very heavy cup. Everything that we do supernaturally, every time we pray for somebody and they get healed, every time we speak a prophetic word over them, every time we even speak a word of comfort that reaches the heart and changes a thing, every single time, that is an act of God. It is supernatural. You are bringing heaven to earth. You are kingdom people. You are not the knots. You're not that list of nots, the I'm nots. You are the list of I am. The I am. God says, I am God. There is no other. I am lives within you. I am dwells. His Holy Spirit dwells within you and empowers you to do exactly what he's doing. Isn't that awesome? That's exciting. How many of you believe that? Okay, so that belief right there demands action. Because belief, you can't sit down. You have to do something. Belief demands action. Faith is an action word. So we're going to put it into action right now. If I can have the keys, we're gonna put that into action. We're going to start healing. I also felt like tonight that the Lord wanted to anoint people. That it says to, if you want healing, to call the elders and let them pray over you, and they will anoint you with oil, and the prayers of the righteous will heal, bring healing. They didn't use that everywhere in the New Testament. Not everybody was healed by being anointed, but we're going to do that tonight. So I want to invite the healing team up, and we're going to start calling out words of knowledge, and I want to invite you to come forward. So a word of knowledge is when the Lord speaks something to us. He highlights a problem in somebody's body or a disease. Sometimes it's real specific and sometimes it's a little vague, but it's something we hear or sense from the Lord and we call it out. We don't get it 100%, but that's okay because we're acting on faith and we're practicing. It says to practice. So the more we practice, the more we step out in faith, it grows faith and it also grows anointing. If you want to grow anointing for a gift that you know you have to do it. You can't wait until God zaps you and suddenly puts you in a position to walk in your calling. You have to start operating. If you have a gift of prophecy, start prophesying over people. Don't wait till you have an office, or because you're not going to get it that way. You need to start practicing. If you feel like God's giving you a gift of healing, you need to start praying for people and start praying healing. It grows it. It grows anointing. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I feel like somebody here has something wrong with their throat. Something wrong with their throat. Is anybody here like that? Right back there. You guys want to come forward? Everyone that struggles with an issue with their throat.
I see a picture of a tree that's white, and it is twisted around the trunk, and it's like it's been twisted and pushed down. And for me, that sounds like a person who has been oppressed, whether that's physically pushed down and have issues with the trunk of their body, or if that means your spirit has been oppressed. You know, is there anybody that feels that way right now? If so, you raise your hand. If you come up, and pray for you.
keep seeing a right foot. Does anybody have issue with their right foot? Sprain or an old break that's acting up, something like that. I just heard the word depression. Does anybody suffer from depression? Why don't you come on up here? Anyone else? Come on. Yeah, don't be afraid to come up. TMJ? Or something with the jaw? Is there anybody here that feels, has a hopelessness about your, I don't know, a hopelessness about your situation or your struggle with your flesh or struggle with an old habit, something like that, that's causing hopelessness in you? Does anybody here have that, have any struggles like that? Sometimes, you know, so I could be wrong, but sometimes I feel it and I hear it, but I understand that it's not always easy to get up and come forward, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. I just want to encourage you, if you have anything that you would like prayer for, or you'd like to be anointed and prayed over, I invite you to come forward. Otherwise, we release you, and thank you for coming out. I hope you were blessed tonight. But if you'd like prayer for any reason, or want to be anointed and prayed over, just come forward.
Thank you. I just need to, would love to give you guys a testimony of something amazing that I saw Jesus do today. Isn't it great to have Jesus stories? Yeah. Well, I saw this guy, and his life is being destroyed. Totally destroyed because he's been doing cocaine every weekend. He's been drinking a bottle of hard liquor and a case of beer every day. And he blacks out all the time. Can't remember anything. And he's losing his family because his family can't take it anymore. And he came to see me, and he is as down as anybody I have ever seen in my life. And he's desperate. And so I ask him, because, you know, if you know Jesus, you know that we got some hope. But he doesn't know Jesus. He's not a spiritual guy. He'd like to believe that God is real, and that's why he's maybe still alive. And so we talked a little bit about why he's doing that, and anxiety. He's just so anxious, and it's the only thing that seems to help him with his anxiety. And it's been like that his whole life, because apparently, you know, sometimes the people that are supposed to love us and comfort us, sometimes they're really horrible. And he had, as a little kid, been really wounded by his parents. I mean, not just emotionally wounded, but physically beaten. And so he's just lived his whole life in fear. And so I asked him if it would be okay, because, you know, we do need God's help to get out of these kind of messes. If it would be okay if we just invited the Holy Spirit to come and for Jesus to talk to him. And so we did a little inner healing where he went back to the memory that has haunted him his whole life. And I asked Jesus to come into that memory. And it was so beautiful. He saw in the memory of being in a basement where he had been abused again and again and again and tortured, he saw the light of Jesus. He saw the light, and you should have seen, like, when people see the light of Jesus, you should have seen what happened to his body. I mean, it's really hard to describe, but his breathing changed. He just kept... It was like breath was coming out of him, and he was just crying, and you could just tell that each time that breath would come out of him like that, that his body would relax another notch, and then it would happen again, and his body would relax. And I just said, Jesus, more of your light, more of your love, more, Jesus. And it just kept happening. And then he said, it is coming out of my chest. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. So I just grabbed that, and I just yanked that out of his chest. And I just commanded that spirit of addiction to leave. And then his body, he just had perfect peace. Perfect peace. And his tears now are tears of joy. And so I said to him, you know who did that, right? That was Jesus. And you can have him in your life forever. All you have to do is ask. I mean, look, he's already touched you. He's already healed you. And he wants to do so much more than that, because he wants to walk with you through life, and he wants to be your counselor and your best friend. And he paid the price for your healing when he was on the cross. And guess what? He asked Jesus into his life. It was a beautiful thing. And so then I asked the Holy Spirit to baptize him and put my hand on his head. Yeah. Well, that was beautiful too. You should have seen his body then. It was like, woo. And I asked him what it felt like, because, you know, this is not a guy that he doesn't know. He's never talked to anyone that says this is what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He has no clue of these things. He said, oh my goodness, fire went through me. I think you need to check my temperature. I think I must have a fever. So anyways, oh man, that was so amazing. He's awesome. Jesus is awesome.
So is everybody well? Is there anybody out there that wants blessed? If you want a blessing tonight, just raise your hand. Looks like probably what we need to do is just lay hands on each other. Let's just take a little bit of time to bless, because you remember the blessing that Jesus did changed lives. Changed the perspective of the world because he loves. And there's nothing greater than what we can do for God. If you want to see miracles happen, bless. That's what makes it. So let's just pray for one another right now. Just take a couple of minutes.
We want to be able to dismiss and keep prayer moving. And if you need prayer up here, of course, you can come up and get prayer. But I would like to make a little announcement as we send you on your way. June 25th and June 29th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's going to be a workshop for the opportunity for you to grow in counseling and healing and understanding more. Londa's going to be teaching that workshop. And it should be an awesome time, and there'll be a lunch break, but it's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., so that's June 25th and June 29th. And I want to encourage you to come, because this is why. Every one of us need to be equipped to help counsel and heal our families and our friends. And it's not that we always go to Jesus, but we need to be equipped to help each other. So this is something, if you want to get equipped, you come on the 25th. It's right here in this place, and it'll start at 9 a.m. We'll have a lunch break, and it's one day. And then there'll be another one, of course, on the 29th to give you two opportunities, a broader opportunity to participate. So that will be a healing workshop seminar, and we want you to come. I'm going to just pray blessing over you. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you do in our midst. We thank you that you are the healer and the wonderful counselor. I ask, God, that you would be with us and strengthen us. And Lord, that we would become more passionate about knowing you and having intimacy with you. To know you in such a way that we can respond to every circumstance that hits us throughout the day based upon this beautiful relationship that we have with you, that we trust you, and that you're the healer, and we have faith to believe that you desire to be involved in our lives. And so, Lord, everyone in this room has a purpose. Everyone in this room has a destiny, and we speak into it and say, yes, that each and every one of us would fulfill what God has for us, that we would focus on the joy that he brings and the love that he brings, and that we would captivate every thought that is against that and bring it into the submission of Christ. So thank you for healing tonight, Lord. And I just pray that it will continue and bless those that go, and may the peace of the Lord be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.